Welcome to Real Talk with Oribi, where we tackle real problems with real people and discover real solutions. I'm your host, Munasha Dikiti, the Communications and Community Management Officer at Oribi Incubator. And for those who don't know us, Oribi is a nonprofit impact entrepreneurship incubator dedicated to driving social change in South Africa. Today, I am joined by Wubuntu, our partners at Wubuntu, as well as 19 service learning students from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. I would like to firstly introduce our partner from Wubuntu, Joseph Lam, to give us a brief introduction into why Wubuntu has joined us in Cape Town with 19 service learning students from the Chinese University of Hong Kong.
Hi everyone, Joseph here. I am from Hong Kong and I am from an organization named Ubuntu. So I'm pretty sure you are familiar with the concept Ubuntu, but for our students from Hong Kong, they are quite new to the idea, and that is why we have the group of service learning students to come here to South Africa to learn about diversity, to serve the communities, and also to grow up as a leader. So Ubuntu is a Hong Kong and Cape Town-based company where we drive intercultural exchanges for young people across Asia and Africa. And we are very happy to have 19 young people here to join us today with the podcast.
All right, so we're going to kick off with a quick game with the students where we are essentially talking about the different experiences that you guys have had, as well as the expectations that you've had coming into South Africa and then the realities that you have faced. So for instance, you could say, I thought everyone in South Africa would know how to dance. And then you would say, but I found out that not everyone in South Africa can dance, right? So that is an example of how the expectations that you probably had around South Africa. I don't know, who would like to start? Okay. Awesome, here you go.
Okay, so I expect that before coming to South Africa, I expect that I'll be only seeing the village side of South Africa. But actually we have seen instead of the village side, like the township of it, we do actually have observed the central business district of it, like full of the English style of or Dutch style of the buildings. Yeah, and these two sides are quite different in South Africa.
Yes, awesome. Before come to South Africa, I expect the price in here may be much lower than Hong Kong. But after I come, I saw the price in supermarkets and some tourist spots. Actually, the price is almost same at Hong Kong's. I feel really surprised because I don't expect the price will be as high as Hong Kong.
Okay, wonderful, thank you.
Before I come to South Africa, I thought every people can dance so well. So I asked the student in Harry Gwala school to teach me how to dance. And they are like, oh, I don't know how to dance, but I can suggest some talented friends to teach me. So they taught me a very difficult dance step, and I simply don't know how to dance.
I can absolutely relate to that. I also struggle with dancing. Wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. All right. So while you were here, or while you are here in Cape Town, we've taken you around some different communities that you've gotten to experience and engage with. So you weren't just passing through and seeing the different communities, but you were actually interacting with the people in those communities. I think you were also teaching some of them, and you were sometimes maybe even doing some gardening work, you know, for some of the NGOs and organizations here. So I wanted to maybe ask, what have you learned from working in South African schools or communities?
This is Carmen, and I'm from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, and I study geography. I think communication is a very important element to service learning because we have faced a lot of difficulties in like communicating and negotiating with different parties. But I think after this service learning trip, I think having a very clear instruction is important, especially when dealing with a large group of people, so that you don't have very messy messages. And I understand that there are many sudden change or unexpected cases happening. So I think informing different parties about the change and is important. Yeah.
This is Man San. I'm a year 3 student studying biochemistry in the Chinese University of Hong Kong, and I've been so grateful that I'm in South Africa.
Yeah, I feel like I've learned how to just talk to people in South Africa. You know, like in Hong Kong, we are not used to just speaking to strangers, right? But through the days that I've been in South Africa, I've been talking to a lot of local people, and they are so willing to speak up and just express what they think. So I feel like I've learned how to be brave and try to speak when I see new people, and it really changes my mind that I can be like communicating and just express what I think. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Ryan, and I study, my major is gender study. I'm also a Chinese University of Hong Kong student. And the most thing important, the most important thing that I learned in South Africa is, apart from the community, is the respect and politeness, because we come from different culture and country, and we have different social expectation and social norms. So if we didn't give respect and didn't give enough politeness to the other peoples, that we would be a big problem. So I think that the other ways is, I think that we should be more brave to communicate with other people, because this is our own journey. This is our great opportunity to explore our world. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. And the next question is around how has your perspective on education and leadership or community changed through these different encounters?
This is Mandy, and I'm an education major, and I'm also a student from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And actually, I have studied many education courses that teach me how to prepare a lesson or different educational theory. But in reality, I find that all these theories are not that applicable. We have to change when there are different learning targets and different audience. Like maybe I didn't teach English before, and we have to adjust our teaching methodology, and we have to apply different theory on it. And also in Hong Kong, we have very advanced technology in teaching. For example, we use projector or iPad for e-learning. But in here, we use a more traditional one or a more basic one. But I think this didn't stop the students' learning motivation. And I find it very inspiring because all students have their learning motivation. I think it is the meaning of education, and it make me more motivated to become a better teacher. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
My name is Sam, and I'm also from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, and I study medicine. So my perspective on education changed a little bit. I still remember when I was in primary school, my teacher told me that the Hong Kong government spent so much money on education, and I didn't understand why. And now I've came to South Africa, and I realized how important education is to change people's lives, because we have been to schools in townships, and it's only through education that they would have a chance to ever get out of township, to ever escape from intergenerational poverty. And that really makes me feel how important education is in helping people.
Awesome. Thank you so much. and then now, the next question is in terms of challenges. So, you know, you've been in communities that are quite underserved in South Africa. You see that there's a limitation in resources. And I think someone mentioned it earlier, where we are still sometimes making use of very traditional methods, you know, and we're not so advanced when it comes to technology. So what other challenges, are there any other challenges that you've encountered or seen in the different communities that you'd like to see some change brought into? It's a pretty big question. I'll give you some time to think about it, yeah?
Hi, Alex here. So the challenges I have encountered is, I think South Africa is less advanced in technology compared to Hong Kong. So when we do our voluntary teaching, we need to prepare most paper stuff. And before we expect that, maybe we will have a projector or maybe we have speakers so that we can display videos. But after we find out that there are only papers and blackboard, then we have to use our phones to project different sounds and videos. And also we need to print out all the images on the paper. Yeah, and I think that's sad and there's less opportunity for the students to learn because they cannot learn digitally. Teachers can see through the world by their eyes and on the books and papers. Yeah, so I think there should be more technology in the classroom so that they can receive better education. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you so much for those answers. And, you know, we're on the topic of, you know, the different challenges that you have faced, you know, challenges that you've seen while visiting here. And I'm curious to hear, how does South African culture compare to the home culture that you guys are exposed to in your everyday life? What differences do you see between the Chinese culture and the South African culture?
My name is Hei Teng. I'm from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, and my major is major in social work. And I realized that in these few days, I can realize the South Africa culture is very ad hoc. So many is not with a lot of plannings, and some have many elements added at that moment, if we have a teaching or what. But in Hong Kong, there's some it's quite different because Hong Kong have many agenda we have to follow or have many plannings and so on. So as we have to adapt to it, this culture in this service trip. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, hi guys. This is Kelly from Chinese University of Hong Kong, and I'm studying law. So I'll go for the communication part. I feel like people here are more active and they're all more open-minded. They give very supportive, encouraging response towards each other. No matter you're from here or you're a foreigner, came to South Africa for visiting, I feel like people are very willing to talk to you, and then they will give a very supporting response to you, what questions you have answered and what questions you have asked. So I really appreciate this kind of communication style. As in Hong Kong culture, people are not used to be that encouraging while they are speaking with different, let's say, strangers. Yeah. Or even if you guys are classmate, you won't be like having that much chance to talk, have deep talk with them. Yeah, so I really appreciate the culture here. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Here you go.
I would like to talk about the lifestyle between South Africa and Hong Kong. And because in Hong Kong, we are like quite so rushing. Every time we are rushing, we have packed schedule. And like, so we have seldom have time for us to like to have relaxation or like to have a reflection of our own feeling. And but in South Africa, we have discovered that many people as like they have not packed schedule, like they have many blank times for them to like have relax or do other various like activities. Yeah, and so when I first come to like South Africa and to be with this schedule, I was like not used to it, because I was like, oh, the schedule is not packed, and I have many time for me to like, I don't know what to do with this time. But like after several days, I discovered that it's a very good time for me to like reflect on own feeling, the various experience that I have, like the teaching in school, because we actually have quite different experiences in different days. Like we have gone to the CBT in South Africa, like we have go to different township, yeah, with different environment and different lifestyle people. So we actually need a blank time for us to like to clear our mind, set, and to have a reflection or feeling, which is like I gradually used to slow my paces. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Wonderful. I mean, I can definitely relate. We have something called African time here, where, you know, sometimes we delay things. I do think that there's a bit of more of a free-flowing schedule that we do bring into our program sometimes. You know, we are very responsive. So sometimes things can not always go to according to schedule. And yeah, it can be a little different. So I can completely understand. I sometimes struggle with that a bit myself, where I'm like, guys, we have a schedule, let's follow it and let's be on time. So it can be a little different, and I completely understand. And I'm curious to hear, particularly from you, Joseph, with Ubuntu and the work that you guys are doing, where, you know, you are creating room where there can be cultural experiences, different cultural experiences, where the youth are engaging with each other and learning from each other. Why is youth-led change important to Ubuntu?
Hi, Joseph here again. So I think youth-led changes can be fundamental and from the bottom-up approach. And that is the approach I think we all wanted to see, instead of like a top-down approach where, you know, policy drives changes. Sometimes it doesn't happen, and sometimes there are obstacles to overcome. But like youth-led approaches, I do think they drive a more influences across the communities, across different people. And I think for the most important part, youth is our future. So I do think when they do different kind of exchanges, they do kind of different kinds of initiatives, it brought a lot of positive influence to our future. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Joseph. And then I'll ask for two more students to maybe answer that question as well. Why is youth-led change important to you?
Hi, this is Siobhan. I think youth-led changes is important because the experience really equip us, the mentality and like the skills to tackle issues when we grow up. Because like we are under some policies and like system we need to follow and undergo such program, but when we grow up, we will be part of the social pillar. So I think this kind of youth-led experience can like foster the communication skills between our peers and how we communicate with people and how we like form a group or like setting up NGO when we grow up and continue serving the community.
Okay, awesome. And can I ask you, if there were three things that you could bring from Hong Kong to South Africa to make a change in the communities, what would that be?
That's absolutely an interesting question. And I think if I need to bring three things from Hong Kong to South Africa, must be, the first one must be like happiness, because I think there is a dynamic, there is some dynamics between Hong Kong people. They are having happiness in South Africa because our happiness is like not very expressive, but they are like very expressive. So I think if we share this kind of like mode of happiness to them, they can like building a bridge to connect Asian people and like South Africa people. Mm. And the second thing, maybe you can ask our peers. Okay. They will have better answers.
Okay, awesome. All right. Do we have anyone else for that question? If you could bring one thing to South Africa that can make a difference in the communities you've experienced, what would that be? I heard an example about technology, for instance, right? Joseph, let's hear from you. Maybe you have a good example.
I think so, yeah. So I think one thing stands out in Hong Kong compared to South Africa is the infrastructures. So we have very good basic infrastructures here, there in Hong Kong. The schools we have are very well-established and running and operated very nicely. And the neighborhood we live in are safe. With all the facilities, you know, running in place, you know, helping you, giving you convenience in life, as compared to South Africa's harsh realities, where you find people in townships, they are in a very vulnerable positions, where safety can be their daily struggle, where going to school can be some kind of challenge, especially in this weather, you know, when it's raining, you know, the school got canceled. We even got canceled one day when we wanted to do a visit in one of the townships in Langa, so because of the bad weather, so which I don't think it will happen in Hong Kong. Even in bad in adverse weather, we have a thing called work from home or study from home, you know, so we have online classes, so the infrastructure is very supportive to our daily lives. And I do think if that can be brought to South Africa, it would help the students, it would help the people in the communities, a lot.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that answer. And I can completely relate on the topic of crime in South Africa. I think there was a conversation, earlier in the month that our president Cyril Ramaphosa and Donald Trump had, where they were emphasizing that there is an issue of crime in South Africa and safety in South Africa. So thank you so much for that answer. I think it's very relevant to our communities. Is there anyone else that wants to add before we move on? Yeah, go for it.
Hello, this is Manson here again. I really want to bring the transportation in Hong Kong, the way of transportation to South Africa. Because I've actually heard a story from like in the trip saying that kids who are in the townships, they're unable to go anywhere due to a lack of transportation out of the township. And in Hong Kong, we are so fortunate that we can have access to really like rather cheap and inexpensive way of transportation. And we can go basically anywhere by bus or by railway, etc. But then I think that if there is more transportation to get like people out of township and to see the country better, they could explore ways to improve the living conditions in the townships. And I really do think that transportation is a great mean to bring like young kids especially to see the world better. And that change starts, transportation would be a great way to change the situation that they are in, and to explore, expand the perspective of kids in like underprivileged areas.
Mm, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I mean, I completely relate to that. I think it might also even be a challenge of issues where you find that children who are based in township areas haven't been to this side of the world, you know. Sometimes it's not having enough money or not knowing the areas well. You find that they've lived their entire life in Khayelitsha or Langa, but they haven't been to the waterfront to see the ocean, you know. So sometimes it's a resource issue. And then there's also the public transport issue, which has been a massive challenge for us here in South Africa, where sometimes we experience things like taxi violence, you know, where the taxi drivers can be a bit aggressive with people. I recall a few years back where they had issues with Uber drivers, and I think that's still a challenge where Uber drivers can't go into certain communities because they'll get attacked by the taxi drivers. So it is a pretty fragile system when it comes to public transport here in South Africa. And I think I can understand from a level of people are trying to maintain their income streams, and it's not easy to find jobs and work and make income here in South Africa all the time. I also want to ask a question around some misconceptions about China. What are some misconceptions that South Africans or maybe even the world in general hold about China that you guys would like to clarify? It's a touchy subject, hey? All right.
I do have one, actually.
Go for it.
Okay. In the trip, we've been to schools, and we hear from the kids that they believe all, like, Hong Kong people, Chinese people, they all know how to do Kung Fu. But actually, this is not the case. In China or in Hong Kong, we have people who excel in different things. Some of us are brilliant scientists, some of us are brilliant doctors. And I'd say that in Hong Kong, we have people doing different things. And we have a very diverse culture in terms of what we choose to do. And I think that this is one of the biggest misconceptions that we've faced during the trip. And I really hope that I could help to clarify it for a bit.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. Any other misconceptions? There you go.
This is Alex. During our trip, I have been asked several times, like, where are you from? Then I'll always answer Hong Kong, but they will follow up another question, like, is Hong Kong in Japan? So location is, like, one of the very stereotype thing. And yeah, but I understand that people may not really know the city where Hong Kong is, so I'm totally fine with that. But of course, I would like to clarify about the location. Another stereotype would be the language. Some shopkeepers, some students, or people around the community, they will start with some, like, konnichiwa or ni hao, which is Mandarin, but actually our mother tongue is Cantonese. So, but of course, Cantonese is a really difficult language to learn, so I understand it. So, but yeah, I would like to clarify about the language as well as the location.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And on the topic of the language, I hear that you guys taught some of the students how to speak a bit of Cantonese, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell us a bit more? Could you share some words that you guys have taught them?
Well, as I mentioned, like, Cantonese is a really difficult language to learn. We have different tones. We have 6 tones, and some of the pronunciation are really tricky in comparison to English, since, like, English does not possess certain sounds, vowels, or consonants. So, of course, we teach them how to greet, how to say goodbye, and also some, like, compliments, like praising perhaps some friends and classmates. Yeah, of course, we include some popular slangs as well, like, to let them to feel like how Hong Kong people speak. And yeah, I'm sure the students have a lot of fun because they are really energetic. They are really passionate about learning different languages, and I'm really glad to see that. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Could I have one person teach me how to say hello, and then also goodbye? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wing here. So, hello is Neho.
Neho.
Yeah, Neho is mean hello, and goodbye is joy gin.
Please say it again.
Joy gin.
Joy gin.
Yes.
Okay.
Joy is like again, and gin is like meet, so it's meaning that we will meet again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joy gin miso.
Joy Ging and Nei Ho.
Okay, Joy Ging and Nei Ho.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thank you so much, guys, for answering these questions so well. I would like to maybe ask some of you to talk about some of the work that you've done or some of the experiences that you've had in Cape Town so far. So, for instance, the gardening, the schools and teaching, and any other activities that you guys have been doing.
I would like to share an experience that we just had yesterday.
Okay, so maybe introduce yourself and what you're studying.
Okay. My name is Samantha. I study data analytics and marketing communication in my university, which is CUHK. Everybody here from the same university. So I think to describe my experience yesterday, I think I learned to treasure my life.
What happened yesterday?
So most memorable parts of the experience is actually when I go downhill, the rock, it's pretty slippery, and then it's also a bit rainy and the kind of like windy, cloudy. So we cannot see very clearly away for 10 meters, maybe just 5 or 8 meters. Actually, every step that I go downhill, I will say, thank God. Even though I'm actually not a Christian, but I don't know why at that moment, every step that I come down the hill, I pray to the God. Because I'm only child, so I know I cannot die there.
Okay.
So I think that's definitely a lifetime memory that I won't forget. And next time when I go for hiking, I would definitely go to check the weather forecast before. Yes.
Okay, where were you guys hiking yesterday?
By the way, we hiked the Table Mountain, but it's actually quite memorable because this is the first time that I see a mountain top. It's very flat, like a table, and then we walk on the table, so it's quite fun that it's completely flat. Yeah, but I will still bring my family to here, but on a sunny day. Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Any other experiences? Okay.
This is Acelia, and I also come from the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And I would like to share one of my favorite moments. Happened in the teaching day. We delivered lots of papers that's related to Hong Kong, and I asked them to pick one of the favorite picture and write down their dream. So after they write down their dream, I asked them to fold the paper airplanes. So and after and asked them to launch their paper airplanes to the future. It's like, I'm quite regret that I can't capturing that moment on the video. But it was a reminder for me to cherish the moment that their joy, their excitement after they launched their planes. So, and I feel like we ask them to fly their dreams to the future. Yes.
Amazing. That is so sweet. I love that. You're essentially teaching them that their goals and ambitions are limitless, you know, and you can achieve anything that you dream of. Did you raise your hand?
Yes.
Awesome.
Hello, this is Ryan again. I want to share about my own experience about this trip. Actually, it's not in the timetable, it's part of the schedule. You know that when we take the minibus to the different school, and then I saw some in the hood, in the neighbor. It's different difference with the Hong Kong. It's a kind of cultural shock because I saw South Africa and Hong Kong have different air pollution. In Hong Kong, the air pollution is because of the fossil fuel, you can smell a lot of the fossil fuel smell in a different car and someone smoking. But in the hood, you can smell a lot a different kind of air, just like someone is BBQ and someone is taking the cigarette and someone is taking the weed. So it's quite interesting about different kind of the air pollution. It's quite fantastic for me. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Any other experiences? Because you guys did some gardening as well yesterday. What were your experiences with gardening? I was worried you were going to hurt your backs with all the digging you were doing. Does anyone want to talk about that? Awesome. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sally. I'm studying in Chinese University and my major is social work. And my most unforgettable experience is we need to remove the waste in the gardens, and we saw some small animals. I don't know how to name this. Maybe snails. And the gardens host told us we need to kill them because they will eat up all the farm, all the plants. And I know the reason why they need to do that, because human need food. But I also think about what we remove the waste. They are also the food from those animals, and they are also life. So I feel a little bit sad for when human need to live, we need to sacrifice other things and to so we can live.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. And to maybe give a bit of context, the students were gardening yesterday at Maningingi, the Maningingi Garden that is owned by Mom Lillian Masebenta, who is a food systems alumni, incubator alumni. They got to do some work, gardening and helping with clearing up the space to make it neat and ready for producing produce. All right. Thank you so much, guys. I want to do one last game with you. And this game is essentially a cultural swap. All right. So I'm going to give you about three prompts. And these three prompts are essentially asking you about two questions. So the first question is, what's one thing that you will miss about South Africa? Or one thing I'll miss about South Africa is?
Okay. One thing that I'll miss about South Africa is the people here. I really enjoy talking to the local people in South Africa. I see that all of them, they have their own personality, they have their own like life, they have their own like little backgrounds, and I really want to like cherish the moment that I'm learning stories from them. And I'm so happy that I can like it's like when I'm speaking to them, they opened my perspective. And I became more willing to talk to people in general. So I'm not sure if I can, you know, talk to a lot of people in Hong Kong and I'll just be shy when I go back to my home country. But I really miss talking to people in South Africa, and I really hope I cherish every moment talking to them.
Awesome. Thank you. And I think that actually brings me, yeah, go for it, guys.
Hello, this is Ryan again, and I think that if I come back to Hong Kong, I will miss some smile in South Africa, especially the student smile. When I saw they smile with me, my heart is melt, and the smile can make my days. Also, my second thing is the food, the delicious food in South Africa. Because before I come to South Africa, I reckon that the food is so spicy, I cannot accept, it's unacceptable. But when I try some food in Kaitan, actually it's quite delicious, and I can accept some I can accept a lot of food in Cape Town. So I want to say that I will miss the smile in South Africa, especially the student and the food. By the way, if you're hearing this postcard, don't do drugs when you're under 18 years old. Thank you.
Okay, I actually want to ask more about the food you experienced. You guys were cooking at Cooktastic here in Woodstock. Can you tell me more about what you guys were cooking and what food you ate?
Actually, we separate different group, and then some people are cooking some bread, and some people are cooking some chicken wings or chicken fruit. I don't know how to call it. But my food is outside. We use some barbecue. We cook with barbecue, and the food is a kind of sausages mixed by the beef or pork. I'm not exactly know the ingredients. The second food is the barbecue chicken breast, and yeah, we add some ingredients, such as some onion, some barbecue sauce, and some powder. Finally, it's great.
Awesome, wonderful. And I think one of the keys of African food that you tried out was chicken feet. Did you guys enjoy the chicken feet?
Yes.
Awesome, I think you had your hand up. Was it you or you? It was you, right? Awesome.
I think one thing that I will miss most in South Africa is the kids in the school. Don't cry. Because I love making international friends, and I've never missed them like I miss the kids in the school, because we have advanced technology now. We have Instagram. I can always contact them, or I can even like fly to Japan and meet my Japanese friends like that. But I know that maybe I would never meet those kids again in my life. And I remember that one of the boys in my class asked me if I can pack him in my luggage so that I can bring him back to Hong Kong. But he was like a head taller than me. Yes. So also there was a girl that she hugged me after class and said that I'm her favorite. And I think that's very sweet. So I think that I miss them most in South Africa.
Oh, sweet. Thank you so much. And then lastly, would you like to share something?
Go for it. For me, I think I would probably miss the connection with the nature here, because there's when the place we live, we are surrounded by mountains and different greenery, and I really like that view. And there's also different wildlife in Cape Town, like seals, penguins, etc. And I really love how we can see wildlife in the city. So yeah, so I think I would really miss the nature here.
Okay. And then lastly, what is the one thing you're still looking forward to doing here in South Africa during your stay? Go for it.
I think for me is to visit the townships here, to really step into the song they live, because like I think in Hong Kong people are really, really we really have a good life, and the security is really good. As we are conducting teaching in the school, we found that some students really said that their parents are broke and they don't have money to buy food, and I'm really worried about that. So that makes me really want to step into how they live and to know clearly what is the situation and how can we help them and what challenges are they really facing.
You. And I'm hoping that the longer tour can give you a bit more context tomorrow, right? Okay, anybody else? Yeah, of course.
So I'm Rita, and I'm studying biochemistry in the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And I'm looking forward to meet the business girl and cook with them. So because I enjoy cooking, and I want to share some Hong Kong cuisine with them and also cook with them and like chat with them and know more about them. Yes.
Nice, thank you. You had your hand up?
Forgot to mention that I'm Christy and I study government and public administration, which you can normally know as politics. And actually, I knew South Africa from one of my courses in my major, which is politics of sports, that I studied how rugby is important in South Africa. And also the boy in my class mentioned about Mandela, and I know that he's very important. And I hope that when I visit the township, I can not only play rugby, but any kind of sports with the kids. I also play soccer, even though I'm a girl. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Wonderful. We love progressive women. And then lastly, you guys got to teach, some Cantonese. I hope I'm saying it correctly. Have you learned any South African slangs? What's the
word? Molweni.
Molweni, well done. Okay, that's hello in Xhosa. Any other language? Okay, yeah.
Unjani.
Unjani, how are you? Wonderful. Wow, you guys are fast learners, hey? Sorry?
Amagwenya,
that's fed cooks. Amazing. Anybody else? That's all that you guys caught on to. Okay, I'm sure tomorrow. Yes.
Ilamalamgu Rita.
Sorry?
Ilamalamgu Rita.
Igamalamgu.
Oh, okay, my name is.
Yeah.
Wow, guys, that's so impressive. In such a short space of time, I am very, very impressed. But thank you so much for joining us for today's podcasting session. We had a wonderful, wonderful session and stay with you guys. And I'm looking forward to the last few days that we have with you. And with that said, that's it for today's Real Talk with Oribi. A massive thank you to our guests, the students from the Chinese University of Hong Kong, our partner Joseph Lam from Ubuntu. We really hope that you found this conversation as inspiring and enlightening as we did. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe, leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @RUB_South Africa to stay updated on upcoming episodes and the latest news from RUB. Thank you.